When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Here we go, here we go, here we go, here we go, this is it!
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Hotbody Dawson. Pow, pow, pow!
I am Sam Lifted Delaney. So what?
Welcome along. It's the Friday morning episode and you get it on a Thursday evening if you're a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon thing. Oh, which, my God, keeps us going. I can't tell you how much it keeps us going.
My God, yes, it does.
Pays for all of our cake and tea bags. What have we got lined up today? Have we got anything? I've got a couple of things to talk about, but is anything you want to bring to the table
before we kick off? I've got a couple of emails that have caught my eye this week. But we can get on to them. Tell us your news.
Well, one of mine was, I think both of mine are email related anyway, so you go first.
All right, well, I've got to find them. I don't know if you see. Oh, here we go. Friend of the show, someone who I've got to know quite well over the last few years, because he came on the reset as well, Cancer Paul in Melbourne. He's called Cancer Paul because he's called Paul and he's got cancer.
Simple as that. Yeah.
And Paul Hales, but he lives in Melbourne, but he's originally from Manchester. He's a great geezer. And he said, all right, fellas, I got tickets to the Melbourne Darts Invitation event for a good mate's birthday a few years back. He's massively into darts. Gist of it was local club players, mostly pretty good, played off first. Then the winners got to play the professionals. That's nice. Good, isn't it? That's a good event. Simon Whitlock was the main star and Van Gerwen, right?
So, are you familiar with Simon Whitlock? He looks like a bit like a wizard. He's got a long beard and long hair, and there's kind of dreadlocks going on, but sort of a bit matted together.
Yeah.
And he's very
English,
hairy.
Is he English?
He's Australian.
British. He's Australian,
Australian,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, and then they got Van Gerwen there as well, which is an impressive name to get along. By the way, Andy, I meant to tell you, I don't know if you can see, but my dartboard is Gary Anderson. It's a Gary Anderson championship dartboard.
One of my very favourite players, Gary Anderson, yeah.
Yeah, well, I saw you tweeting about him the other day and I thought, Gary Anderson, so I might make Gary Anderson my guy now.
Yeah, go for it. Why not?
He's Scottish, isn't he, Gary Anderson?
He's Scottish. He's possibly at the tail end of his career.
Right.
But he's still playing really good, really good stuff, high quality stuff.
He's had a prestigious career, hasn't he? He's won
won the World Championship twice. Yeah. During the Phil Taylor domination era, so good player.
No mean feat.
Legend.
Okay. Anyway, Paul Hale says maybe 8,000 to 10,000 really pissed Aussies watching, and it was a warm evening. And he puts in brackets, they usually only serve mid-strength beers at sporting events. But this was full strength in plastic pint pots, right? He says, two-thirds in fancy dress. They'd covered the whole pitch in a giant tarpaulin and really cheap and light tables and chairs. He's really setting a scene for what's about to come, isn't he?
He really is, by saying really light tables and chairs. Yeah. I feel as though that may be key as to what happens.
It's like when you watch an episode of, like, I don't know, any like Casualty or Columbo, and they're really heavy-handedly doing close-ups on things that they're trying to get you to notice and remember
this will
for
be
later.
Significant later on,
He says, all pretty light-hearted until one of the local players, an old bloke, maybe 70-odd, came on. He was so nervous, he was visibly shaking, and he couldn't land one, even on the board, right? Couldn't land. So, I mean, that's bad, isn't it? Crowd started going mental and cheering when one stuck in. Everyone started lifting chairs over their heads and doing that Ali Pally darts chant.
Yeah.
Because of this old boy hitting the board once. 10,000 of them went mental.
It's great.
Okay. Was a right laugh until security started telling everyone to put their seats down. Now, come on, put your seats down. Next thing, there's 5,000 people with chairs in the air singing. Instead of backing off, security decided to send in a snatch squad.
I'm going to say this sounds like a prison riot when the prison officers realise they're outnumbered and there's nothing they can do.
I love snatch squad. It's great, isn't it?
Yeah.
They sent in a snatch squad.
I don't think the snatch squad's going to be enough for this.
To throw out a group of Oompa Loompas who were taunting them. I'm not gonna stand here and be taunted by a bunch of Oompa Loompas. Send in the snatch squad. He goes, then it went off properly. The tarpaulin was covered in beer. Everyone slipping all over the place. It was like fancy dress, it's a knockout fighting. And then he signs off by saying, one of the greatest nights out of my life. Well worth a look on YouTube. Good luck, lads.
Oh, wow.
Cancer Paul. And it's on fucking YouTube, mate.
Superb.
Yeah, so that's... I thought that really was a lovely story.
I think I told you before, but one time me and my boy went to Newcastle to the Premier League darts one night, and it was the beginning of the first match of the evening, so it's only 7 p.m.
Yeah.
And down that bit of alleyway that the players walk down before they come on,
yeah,
the little walkway they have, right at the top of that, I can't remember who it was, maybe Peter Wright, and there was a group of fellas dressed as Cinderella all together, and one of them made a lunge at Peter Wright and tried to hug him before he started his walk on. This is nine danker. This is not allowed. So security got hold of him, threw him out, marched him off to the exit, to the cheers of everyone. Rest of the Cinderellas didn't go with him. They fucking stuck around. They stayed. There was no solidarity between the fancy dressed Cinderellas. So you've got this scenario. You've got the rest of these Cinderellas in there enjoying the rest of the night while there's one solitary Cinderella walking the streets of Newcastle, lost, alone, stray man, ejected from the darts at 7 p.m.
That's a shame, because you could get bullied. A Cinderella could get bullied, left alone. That's not on.
That was fun.
Scott Andrews has sent an email that I liked as well. He says, the title of the email is Decided to Turn to the Soft Life. He's written, all right, cunts. After grafting away as a welder and then a mechanic working on TVRs for 25 years, fucking Scott, you're a better man than either of us. That's a proper career, isn't it?
Yeah.
Welder then mechanic on TVRs. A decline in my wife's health in her mid-30s, and also having four kids, a shitload of dogs, cats, and untold amounts of DIY I never have time to do, I've decided to quit work for good, to be at home for my family, and so begins my pursuit of the soft life. I intend to fill my days by taking the kids to school, followed by a leisurely stroll home through the woods. Oh, with my hands behind my back, purchasing a new teapot with the filter thing inside for tea leaves, copious amounts of digging in my gardens, fucking hell, which are a fucking shitty mess at the minute, followed by a nap in the afternoon before another stroll to pick the kids back up. I may even fit in some jigsaws and crosswords to do as I eat my breakfast and enjoy a lovely cuppa. I will retire from working at the end of May, just in time to enjoy summertime from my rig. TTFN dickheads, love, IFS Platinum Scott, age. Guess his age.
Ooh, 43.
41 and 5 months.
And he's retired.
He's fucking retiring. What a legend.
Has he done the sums? I've got to tell you, Scott,
this really struck a chord with me. I thought, it's a really positive move he's made in his life. Because he's doing it for the right reasons, you know. He's doing it for his family as well.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. People think the soft life is lazy, but it's not. It's just putting your effort into a different area of your life. Mm-hmm. And an area of your life that's more important, more valuable, and everyone will get more out of it, you know.
I mean, I get serious point time. I feel really, really lucky that I've been a freelancer all the time that my kids have been alive. And it means that I can tailor my work from home around school runs, stuff like that. So it means that I'd have to knock off at like 3:15 every day to go and pick the kids up from school. Don't do that anymore because they're older.
Yeah.
But just stuff like that. I'm just being around for appointments, doctor's appointments, dentist appointments and all that kind of thing. Didn't earn as much as I possibly could, but
being around there was a period in my life when the kids were younger, when I was doing drive time, I'd like come home probably about 8. I'd be really knackered, uncommunicative. At that time, Len was still really young, and he'd be like, you know what he'd do sometimes? I'd pull up on the scooter, and he'd be have his head out his bedroom window looking for me, even though he'd gone to bed, but he'd wake up, look at me. It was quite sweet, but it was the reason he did it was because it was his only chance to see me. I was out first thing in the morning, back at 8, and it was horrible. But since they've been about, I don't know, probably like 7 and 11 respectively. I've been around, and sometimes just being around for a cup of tea when they get in from school and they've had a shit day and you can just have a chat with them about it means a lot. Of course, if you're not able to do that, you can still be an excellent parent. I'm not saying that, but what I am saying is I feel like you. I feel very privileged to have been able to do it.
Lucky. Definitely.
And I don't know what Scott's circumstances are and how he's managing to do it. And so I'm not saying to everyone, you should do it, because it's not reality for some people. But I really, really enjoyed reading this email. And the idea even if you and I, with our advocacy of the soft life, have even played a 1% role in that decision or in his vision for the new soft life he's living, then I am delighted, mate.
Yeah, totally. And we will get round to finishing off the Premier League season overviews at some point that we started doing originally in 2018, wherever it was.
I'm not sure if football even fits into soft living anymore. It's hectic isn't it?
You said a thing the other week, which I hadn't thought about before, which was that football's really bad for your mental health. Mm. And I'm absolutely adamant that it is.
Yeah, 100%.
There's no peace and love and good vibes around going to football. Very rarely.
I saw a clip of people shouting vile abuse at Declan Rice about his girlfriend or his wife, whatever she is like. And I thought, what kind of environment is this for me to take my children to? I'm taking my daughter and her mate to football. I'm like, oh my God, this place is horrendous, right? Yeah. I mean, by the way, that clip wasn't at West Ham, but the point is that you get some bad. It can be an unpleasant environment. It can be stressful because you're always stressed about your team and how shit they are or what's going on. You're stressed about all the rules stuff that we've been talking about a lot recently. But also, you were talking about snooker a moment ago, which I know you love going to see. Now that is that's in keeping with the soft lights.
It's the soft life
nice.
Sport.
Nice. Yeah. Oh, it's the soft life sport. You know, it's competitive. But you know, it is. It makes you feel nice, doesn't it? Watching snooker.
It's weird because you get that feeling of, you feel your heart rate slowing down when you're watching it. When you go to the Crucible to watch it, you feel your heart rate slowing down. But there's also the tension and the excitement of what's happening on there. If something really, really good happens and there's a tense kind of match going on.
I saw something in the paper, a headline that the Crucible smelt, mate. Is that true?
That's not true.
Have you
read
this,
though?
That's
one of the players. That's the Iranian player, Hossan Vafai, who is a little bit
outspoken. Oh, if you don't like it, mate, you know what you can fucking do. Fuck off back to Iran.
That's what they had people on social, because social media snooker is a bit lively as well.
Okay.
There's people on there going, yeah, because fucking Iran don't smell of nothing, does it? Fucking hell.
We're the fucking Crucible in Iran, I tell you what. You miss the blackout there, they'll have your fucking hands off in the town square, sunshine.
Two legs off the fucking floor to cut them off. So Hossan Vafai, he's a bit lively, he's a bit outspoken.
Is he?
And he lost, and he said that the Crucible stank. Yeah,
this place stinks.
Fuck your game.
I don't want to stay any moment longer anyway. Fucking stinks of shit.
Maybe it does smell backstage. I don't know, but the bits where the seats are, it smells
perfectly
fine.
What's the food like there? Like when you want to get a snack?
I've not had the food before, other than a nice bag of minstrels that I like to suck on while I'm watching.
You're allowed to take food into the arena with you?
You are. I think you're only allowed to buy your own sweets when you're in there. I don't think you can take sweets in. Mm. Your own, you can't
there's
take
always,
like a
mate,
pizza.
There's always ways around that.
Well, of course there is. They do frisk you when you're going in, because of course just stop oil.
I'd stick peanuts down my willy like the Beatles did when they went to Graceland.
Then, yeah, six of them.
Six peanuts down my willy.
Penis nuts.
My willy tube, and I'd pop one out every frame.
Yeah. So, yeah, because of just the oil last year, if you remember, they got in and sprayed fucking dust or whatever it was all over one of the tables, so it's, the security's a bit tighter now. You get frisked on the way in. But they
I'm not just stop oil, mate. It's not, that's, I haven't got a political agenda.
Well, that's what the fella last year
said. I've got six peanuts in my willy, and I've got a packet of fruit pastels up my arse. And believe me, there is nothing political about any of it. I just get
peckish. It's personal, not political. It's personal, not political. I think you'll find the personal is political these days, sir.
You can't answer for everything, haven't you? All right, fair enough. Go on. Fish out the fucking fruit pastels if you're brave enough.
Fucking hand us a cup and I'll spunk these peanuts out. That's what you want.
That's what you want, innit, you filthy fucking rotter.
So you get frisked on the way and you buy minstrels. There's a nice little breakfast bar downstairs where they do bacon sarnies and sausage sarnies and all that, but I've not tried them. But I'm going there for a little snooker holiday next week, so I might partake and report back after I've done that. So that's going to be good. Quarter-final stage I'll be going for. Oh, bring it on. There was another... It was a comment, actually, on the Patreon regarding Sir Stephen Hoff, the virtuoso pianist who I went to see in Glasgow last week.
Oh, yeah.
Got a bit more background on the Sir Stephen Hoff, who, as I said, appeared to be fairly full of himself.
Yeah.
Not unconfident about his abilities. No. And why not? That's why he's a virtuoso. You don't want a shrinking violet as a virtuoso, do you?
He calls himself the big dog.
Yeah, he does.
The big swinging dick of the classical pianist world.
Quite right. Someone has to be.
Jalapeño.
Here's a brief but annoying message to let you know that you wouldn't be hearing this brief but annoying message if you were a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon offering.
For the price of a pint and a St. Clement's each month, you can get up to 4 episodes a week, 9 months before the rest of the world gets them. Early access to regular episodes, lots of other marvellous benefits, and there's absolutely no adverts or brief but annoying messages like this that will get right on your tics.
Find out more and subscribe now at tftimemachine.com/ironfilings.
Jalapeño.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Jalapeño.
A listener, David Davies, said, "Love the Hoff chat. I've seen him perform a bunch of times, and he's definitely in no doubt about his own worth." It wasn't just a one-off then. But his backstory is quite something. He came from a very modest background on the Wirral, near Liverpool, started learning to play on a £5 piano, and lost years of practice to a mental breakdown after being the victim of a mugging at the age of 12. Bit like fish cake. It's the fish cake story.
Is that what he said?
No, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was mugged at the age of 12 and had a mental breakdown that I'm still only just emerging from.
Oh, okay, you didn't cope better then. Yeah. He also suffered homophobic abuse as a young man, had a truly grim time at one of the music colleges he attended. A lot of this is covered in his excellent episode of Desert Island Discs, which I feel as though I might seek out. That sounds really good. It says, if he is absolutely living his best life now, something a glance at his socials confirms. I didn't know he was on the socials, but I'll have to check that out as well. See where Sir Stephen Hoff's doing and what he's up to. And David Davies says, yeah, fair enough. And if you want a classical piece that is non-stop thrill, spills and volcanic noise, give Shostakovich's Seventh Symphony a go. It is unbeatable. So lots for us to think about there. Alex D., who, of course, is our official musical consultant at Top Flight Time Machine.
Yeah.
Also been in touch about Stephen Hoff. He says he received some sort of honour from Chester Uni on the day that I graduated with my PhD, which involved him giving a speech. He was very quick to point out he'd previously received similar from more prestigious institutions. And he continued giving massive Sir John Fanny Powder of classical music vibes for another 20 minutes.
Brilliant. I'm fucking going to see him. This geezer for sure.
He's my favourite. Yeah, I'm going to start fanboying him. Mm. Start following him round. So yeah. There we are. Thanks for that, Alex D.
What's the geezer's name again? I keep forgetting his
Sir
name.
Sir Stephen Hoff.
Stephen Hoff. I'm coming for you, Hoff.
I must be on Insta.
What?
I hope he is.
H-O-U-G-H. Oh, yeah, I found him.
H-O-U-G-H. Stephen Hoff Instagram. Yeah. There he is.
Oh, yeah. He's got a great look about him. He looks
like...
Oh,
that's
like,
not him. He's done no posts. That must be someone else.
He looks like someone... He looks like a baddie from Doctor Who.
Is he on... Oh, he's on Twitter.
The official Hoff, website of Stephen...
Hoff, he's called on Twitter.
Of Stephen fucking Hoff. That's what his website is actually, www.stephenfuckinghoff.com.
30 minutes ago, someone's posted a thing, thoughts on phone use during live performances and why it's bad for everyone, about people using phones in classical music venues, and Hoff's retweeted this saying, don't they threaten imprisonment for this in a cinema? Follow.
I tell you what, you do it one of my shows, I'm fucking walking straight into the auditorium, sparking you out, you cunt.
I'll start fucking
FYI,
windmilling.
On my fourth coming tour, yes, I will be wearing my stony to every performance to guard against this sort of thing. Next
Here
question.
Here he is. April 16th. He says, the world's favourite airline, inverted commas, on a 55-minute flight from Dusseldorf to London today, served afternoon tea. Delicious sandwiches, warm scones with Cornish cream and Wilkins strawberry jam, chocolate cake and excellent strong tea. Thank you, British Airways. You didn't have to.
Roy Race, he's like, there we go. Yes. That's another fucking year of first-class travel in the bag for fucking gratis for old Hoffy. Hoffy strikes again. Took me fucking 30 seconds to write that, bollocks. I'll be flying the world's favourite airline again to the next fucking gig I get in Sydney.
Fucking hell.
I tell you what, yes, he plays, he's touring non-stop, mate. All over the fucking world.
Mm.
Idaho, Aspen, Seoul, Tokyo, Nagoya, Osaka. Fuck me. He never stops. That's right. Fucking non-stop. And by the way, as well, I tell you what, the fucking fanny in this game is off the fucking scale. Trust me. And if fanny's not your thing, cock, ass, whatever you want.
The lot.
Once you fucking know how to fucking tinkle the ivories, yeah, the world's your fucking lobster, sunshine. Bag out a fucking tune.
All preserved by a thin veneer of respect and fuckability.
That's the thing, they don't see it coming. If you wear, I don't know if you've noticed, but in all of my press photography, I wear a Nehru-collared suit. You know what
Which
I mean?
Which is a signal.
Like, it's good, that, because it's sort of respectable, but it's got an air of mystery about it, and the fucking Excellent. Ladies love it.
Superb. Oh, yeah, we're very pro-Stephen Hoff on this podcast now.
Yeah. He's a person of huge interest.
Huge interest. What else is happening? Matt Ritchie, a place in Newcastle.
Mm.
Passed his lorry driving licence today.
Did he?
Yeah.
What's he done that for?
He's done an LGV lorry licence. I thought, shits and giggles, probably. Spare time stuff.
I suppose Post you do have a lot of spare choice. Time. And it used to be that footballers went and they'd train in the morning. And then in the afternoon, it would be either the bookies or the boozer or both, right? And that was it, wasn't it? And now they don't live like that, which is good. So what do they do? Some of them have businesses, don't they? Some of them go and have meetings with their business associates.
Some of them have like investments, like Robbie Fowler's got a portfolio of properties, hasn't he?
He's yeah, so they go and check those out. Maybe Robbie Fowler back in his day, he'd finish training, then he'd go round and sort of go and sort of inspect properties, or go and, you know, if he's a landlord, he might have to go round and do some things like, oh, I'm just going to check the boiler, change some light bulbs, have a look at that mould that you said was appearing in the top bedroom.
It's getting into your lungs, apparently. So you reckon?
Yeah, go and deal with this fucking asbestos you claim is up in the loft. But yeah, you have to do something. So why not do something useful, like trying to drive a fucking lorry?
Yeah, I mean, it might be just something he's really into.
So footballers, even like Matt Ritchie, you know, he's had a very good career in the top flight, but at the same time, he's not like a super duper star. He's a good. You know, he's a solid Premier League player. He's had some good years. Yeah. But even
34 now, so...
He's 34. Even if you're... if nowadays, you can just be... I wouldn't say he's a journeyman, but I think... did he play for Bournemouth before? I'm not sure. But... But anyway, surely even those guys, like the middling players, the non-superstars, are still able to just retire in their 30s and never want the money again.
Any Premier League player of the last 15 years.
Even if you're an average player now, I think you get like 50 grand a week.
I reckon so, yeah.
Maybe more. You do that for 10 years.
2.5 million a year.
You're earning 2.5 million a year, as long as you're shrewd in your investments, which I would not be. But, you know, if Matt Ritchie's got more financial nous than me, he'll be fine.
Matt Ritchie can now drive a lorry over 7.5 tonnes and up to 32 tonnes. Fucking big responsibility.
Yeah.
And there's a picture of him on Twitter, a post by a guy called Colin Smith, who is a representative of Tyne and Wear LGV. And he's there with his arm around Matt Ritchie. Matt Ritchie's got his arm around Colin, and he's giving him the little rabbit sign above his head, above Colin's head. His oldly certificate. And it says, well done, Matt Ritchie. Just passed his test with Tyne and Wear LGV. Get in, lad. And Ritchie looks over the fucking moon.
Good man. Well, congratulations. Yeah, it feels wholesome that he's done that, doesn't it?
I mean, there's that reputation lorry drivers have got that they all murder women, which of course isn't true. Just that's based on Peter Sutcliffe. But maybe.
Yeah, just, I mean, that's the thing. There's one lorry driver who was famously a serial killer. But that's it. And now they all get tarred with the same brush. I mean, sooner or later, there's going to be a podcaster who's a serial killer. And when that happens, do we all get tarred with the same brush?
Well, I mean, lots of people regard podcasters as being like society's outcasts already, really.
If you had to bet which of the podcasting community would become a serial killer, who would you bet on? I think the answer is pretty obvious, but let's see. We're both thinking along the same line.
It's Jake Humphries.
Fucking Jake Humphries.
Obviously. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're not saying he has or will or does.
But
we're just saying
we're not saying he has or will. I'm saying, can you picture a scenario in which he becomes serial killer? Or more likely, can you picture a scenario in which he starts a cult in a huge compound in Norfolk, announces that he's married 14 women of various ages, and then one day just encourages everyone to set fire to themselves?
Yeah, it would be him again, I reckon.
Him, wouldn't it?
Or Adam Buxton.
Nah, Buxton wouldn't do it.
Only joking. Matt Ritchie is now a lorry driver. So
this weekend I'll be assembling and using my brand new leaf blower and vacuum combi.
Ooh.
Yeah. I've asked you about this in the past. It's been a long time coming, and my garden's such a mess. And I thought, I just have to take this in my own hands now. Come on, I just got to, it does my head in. So I did a bit of research. I got it's some sort of Japanese brand. I didn't get the Bosch because I don't always trust, when it comes to vacuuming things, I don't really always trust cordless, because I just don't trust that they're going to have the power.
Yeah, I shy away from cordless all the time.
Yeah, especially when it's such a... So I thought, fuck that. So I nearly got the Bosch, but the Bosch, it was only something like a 4-metre cable. And I thought, I don't know, that seems restrictive. So it's something like, I want to say like a Hitachi or something like that.
You want
like
a 10-metre extension, that's sorted out.
Well, this one that I got, real 12 metres, mate. Real. 12 fucking metre cable.
Fucking hell.
Yeah.
Nice.
I mean, obviously my garden's not nearly that big, but I don't need the full 12, but I like to know that I've got more than I need. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's like battery power. You want your phone to be fully charged, even if you know you're only going to be out for like an hour.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm going to do that, and I'm really looking forward to it, mate. You're a leaf blower user yourself.
Yeah, I am. It's what I'd recommend. Have you got Have you got any gardening gloves?
Yes.
Wear the gardening gloves because the vibrations that come off the handle of these things is fucking ridiculous.
And really?
It'll dull some of the vibrations if you've got like a barrier, like gardening gloves.
What about a mask to protect?
No,
eye
I wear
protection.
A mask.
No. I wanted to get one of those sort of welders ones that people wore transparent sort of welder style masks in COVID that I was quite envious of. I was thinking maybe I could get one of those.
I mean, if you want to.
Yeah.
It's not going to hurt. It's not going to make any worse.
Lastly, does your one suck as well as blow?
Yes. It's got a bag on it.
Yeah. So this has got a bag. Now, here's a very important question. I'm a bit embarrassed to ask it, and I don't think I would ever do this, but I am interested. Ever sucked up any dog shit with it?
It won't suck up dog shit.
Really?
It won't suck up dog shit. It won't suck up plants. It's just got enough suck to pull up leaves just that are loose on the ground.
Okay.
So you won't get
anything heavier than a leaf. It's not doing it.
For example, there was some. I've got a tree in the garden that gives off some little berries that all fall to the ground.
Yeah.
In autumn, early autumn.
Your berry
and
tree.
I tried. I thought I'll suck them up as well.
Yeah.
Suck them cunts.
They're
up.
Getting fucking sucked. Let me tell you that for nothing.
And they're only small, but it doesn't suck many of them up.
Really?
It'll not suck them all up.
So it's not a power.
So
sucker.
That was annoying. That was annoying, so it wouldn't do that. But it's a leaf sucker. It's not a berry sucker.
So you suck up the
separate tool.
You suck up. There's probably a separate berry sucker you can get.
Possibly, yeah. £50.
If you called up the manufacturer, they go, "'Cause it doesn't fucking suck berries up. Read the small print.
You read the box.
You should have paid extra and got the fucking multi-sock. Does berry shit and leaves. Cost £50 more, mind you.
No, mine sucks up leaves and then it's got a bag on and it shreds them inside the machine.
Oh.
And you can just put them into your garden bin or into your composter if you want to put them in there.
That's my weekend. Well, I've fucking got to go to West Ham Liverpool on Saturday morning, which I really don't want to do, but it's been a long-term promise to take my daughter and her mate, and they don't care that West Ham have turned dog shit. They just want to go to the game because they think it's a fun day out. So I've got to go along to that, which I'm not looking forward to. But then as soon as I get back, out comes the leaf blower and the rest of the weekend. Probably leaf blower and darts, to be honest.
Yeah. Excellent.
Soft life.
Mm. Let's do some predictions as we're talking about football. Here we go. Everton versus Brentford.
Ooh. I think Everton will win this 2-0.
I'll go 2-1 Everton. Bournemouth versus Brighton. I'll go first on this. I think this will finish 2-2.
I think 2-1 Bournemouth.
West Ham versus Liverpool.
I'll say 2-2. But I want to stress that I don't actually think that will be the score.
Well, the point of this is you've got to say what you think the score. Bearing in mind that you're only 3 points ahead at the top of the prediction line.
I can't say I think the score's going to be. I'm going to have to go with 2-2.
I want you to tell me what you think the score will be as well, and I'll put it in brackets.
3-0 to Liverpool.
If you throw this league away based on what you've just said, this will be incredible. I think it will be... I'm going to go... 2-1 Liverpool.
Okay.
Watford versus Sunderland. 1-0 Watford.
1-0 Watford.
And results bots match. Newcastle versus Sheffield United.
2-1 Sheffield United. No, sorry, 2-1 Newcastle.
2-1 Newcastle. I think it'll be 3-0 to Newcastle. and hopefully Matt Ritchie will score the third goal and do a lorry driving celebration.
Yeah,
to celebrate.
Where you pretend to pull the thing.
That thing. Yeah. Yeah. His horn.
The thing. The lorry thing.
All right, that's about it then. That's anything else you want to mention?
Nope. I feel fully done. Fully potted.
Cleansed.
Spent.
Thanks very much for listening. And that's that.
That's that.